Good evening, everybody. Agotavach to one and all. Today's daf is Sukkah Daf Dalet. We are holding a daf Gimlam base, two lines from the end of the page at the two dots. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. The first thing we're going to discuss is when you have a sukkah that's gavol, that's lemaila mechaf amah, it's more than 20 amos high, is there any way to elevate the floor level so therefore you would thereby minimize the height of the sukkah? So what would it take? What would you need to put on the floor? How long would you have to keep it on the floor? What would your mindset have to be in putting something on the floor in order to minimize the height of the sukkah to make it less than 20 amos high? Then the Gemara is going to discuss what about building something, building a platform in the sukkah, and that's going to lead us into the sugya of dofen akuma. What about whether when you have pasul schach on the sides, can that count toward the walls of the sukkah to allow the walls that are further off on the side to be mitzarif to the schach that's somewhere further along toward the middle of the sukkah? Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about what if you stick four poles in the ground and you put schach over those four poles, is it ever possible that your sukkah could be kosher? So one possibility is where you are on a rooftop and you put the four poles in the corner of the roof, so maybe you can utilize the walls of the building that the sukkah is on top of. And the other possibility is maybe even out in the middle of a field or in the middle of the roof where you cannot possibly use the walls of the building. Maybe even in such a case we can apply some sort of halachic mechanism or halachic principle that will allow us to kosher such a sukkah. So let's begin on Gimel and Beis at the two dots. Says the Gemara, so maybe a little bit of background. Let's not yet begin the Gemara. Let's start like this. There are three different types of items that a person might put on the floor of a sukkah that each have a different level of assumption of how long you plan on being mevatel it there, how long you plan on leaving it there, and whether it's likely that that's actually going to be permanent flooring in the sukkah. One type of item is karmuksasos. Karmuksasos, no one in their right mind would turn that into flooring. That's expensive stuff. You know, pillows, cushions, things like that. You wouldn't turn that into flooring, like putting silk or something. That wouldn't be a permanent flooring in anyone's book. Then the next level down is teven. Teven is something that people might leave there for a long time. It's certainly not expensive like karmuksasos. But then one level above that is afar. Afar or tsroros. If you have dirt or if you have gravel, so that's something that is much more permanent, or a much more likely scenario that it's going to be permanent. So three different levels of items that one might put on the floor of the sukkah. Then the other consideration in determining whether that's considered a proper new floor of the sukkah is what you did with the item, meaning what was your mindset. So that has four different levels. The one level is that you're mevatelit bepemale. You say explicitly, I am being mevatel this here forever, or at least for the entire Yom Tov of Sukkahs. The next level down is you weren't mevatelit bepemale, but you had in mind that you're leaving it there for the entirety of Sukkahs. You didn't say anything, you didn't say the words, but you had in mind that you're going to leave it there for the entirety of Sukkot. Then the next level down is you just put it there stam. You didn't have in mind one way or the other. You just put it there with no commitment, one way or the other, that you're taking it away from there, that you're going to leave it there, no commitment. Then the final level is where you put something on the floor of the sukkah, but your explicit plan is to remove it from the floor of the sukkah. So obviously the first one we started with is the most likely to become batel and become the floor of the sukkah. The last one we said is the least likely to become the floor of the sukkah. So those are the considerations. Those are the two factors. What is the material and what is your mindset? The Gemara is going to discuss three different types of material and four different types of mindsets when it comes to elevating the floor of the sukkah to make it within 20 amos of the schach. Now let's begin. If the sukkah was more than 20 amos high, and you wanted to minimize the height of the sukkah by elevating the floor, by putting karam uksasos down on the floor, by putting cushions on the floor, lo avi miut. That does not work as a miut to the size of the sukkah. Even if you were mevatelit, in the way Rashi understands, you were mevatelit for all the 7 days of sukkahs, it doesn't matter. Mevatelit means you said you're being mevatelit. You explicitly were mevatelit, but it doesn't matter because it's karam uksasos, and we assume mishum debatla daito etzel kaladam, that a person who has in mind to be mevatelit, karam uksasos is such an outlier that his das is batel to the das of Kol Adam. The Meiri says that some bring a raya from this sugya against Rava, that the Rava said the reason of the psul of Mal Mechav Amma is because you need mechitzos of that you need mechitzos aray, and such a sugya was mechitzos keva. So how would bittel help this whole sugya about being mevatel something to the floor? Mechitzos remain exactly the same. So the Meiri thought maybe this is a raya against Shitas Rava, because the mechitzos are going to be mechitzos keva no matter how high you make the floor. But most of the Rishonim say not that way. They say that the mechitzos shel barzel will also work, meaning the point is that the dimensions of a sukkah should be a reflection of something that could be a diras arai. So as long as you raise the floor, then the dimensions of the sukkah are adjusted to the point where such a sukkah with such dimensions could be a diras arai. But anyway, that's the first halacha. If you're putting down karmic sasos, it doesn't matter, even bitul pemale, it's not going to become a new floor. And therefore, the sukkah is still more than 20 amos high, it's still possible. Teven, but if you put down straw, ubitlo, and you're explicitly mevatalit, have a miyut, then certainly that does work. For kolshkein, afar ubitlo, and certainly if you put down afar, because afar, if you recall, we said, is even more likely to be flooring material than tevin is. So certainly if you put afar down and you're mevatalit, that is certainly the new floor of the sukkah. Tevin ve'einos lefanoso, but what if you have tevin that you were not explicitly mevatel, but you had in mind that you want to leave it there for the entire sukkah? You didn't say it, but you had in mind that you wanted to leave it there the entire sukkah. Or va'afar stam, you have va'afar, you didn't even have anything in mind, you just put it there and nothing one way or the other. So that's machlokas Rabbi Yossi Rabbanan. Those two are machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, whether that's considered a new floor of the sukkah and therefore elevates the floor of the sukkah to the point that the schach is no longer more than 20 amos off the floor, or whether we still consider the floor to be the floor and this is not considered a new flooring, and the schach is still more than 20 amos, so the floor in the sukkah is still possible. Ditnan, because the Mishnah tells us as follows. Where is this Mishnah? So if you look in the side, it tells you it's a Mishnah Mesachas Ahlos. Why are they talking about floors of sukkah, Mesachas Ahlos? They're not. In Mesachas Ahlos, we're talking about Tumas Ohel. The halacha is that if a mace is in a room, let's say, so if the room has like a normal room, but it's like this, where you have ceilings, and the ceiling is way more than a tefach off of the ground, so the Tumah fills the entire room, but the tumah does not go through the roof of the room. The tumah is not pukas va'ola, it just fills the entire room. So if you're standing next to the mace, even if the mace is on the other side of the room, you become tameh. But if you're flying over the roof of the room, you don't become tameh. But if there's no airspace in the room, the room is stuffed with dirt, you fill the whole room with dirt, and so on top of the mace there's just a whole bunch of dirt, so then the tumah goes straight through. The tumah does not fill the whole room, the tumah goes straight through. So what would be considered filling up the room where the room is not considered to have open space? So that's what the context in the Mishnah Maseches Olos is really about. So the Mishnah tells us, bayis milu tevin, if you have a room, a bayis literally means a room, that even though we translate it as house, but usually that's what a house was back in the old days, that it was a room. So if you have a room that you fill up with tevin, otsroros, or you fill it up with rocks. Now, it's confusing that we switched from afar to tsroros, but it's the same thing. Tsroros and afar are the same. So you fill it up with tevin or with tsroros, ooh, bitlo, and you were explicitly mevatel that you're going to leave it there forever, that you're closing up this room. So mevutal, then it's batel, then the room doesn't have any airspace anymore. Bitlo in, lo bitlo lo, so the Gemara says, so we can make a diuk. Only if you're actually mevatel, it doesn't consider it to be close up the room. But if you were not explicitly mevatel it, then it does not close up the room. Bitani Allah, and we learned on that Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi Yomer, Brisa elaborates on that Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi Yomer, tevin ve'enos lefnoso, Hareu kafar stam, that if you have straw that you put on that you put in the room and you don't have an explicit and your plan was not to remove it, even though you never said that plan, you never said it pemale, but your plan was not to remove it, that's the same as putting afar, which is of more permanent nature, stam, just stam putting afar there, where we're also going to assume that your plan is not to remove it, ubatel, and therefore it becomes batel to the room. But afar va'asa lefanoso, but if you put dirt there, even though dirt is the most likely item to leave there forever, but you are planning on removing it, hareu kistam tevin velo batil, then it's like putting tevin there, just stam without any plans, and therefore it's not going to be batil. Period. That's the machlokas that we have between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. So again, you see how it emerges from this sugya, that you look at both the material that you're putting on the floor and what your plans are are when you put that material on the floor. Three different types of material, four different types of plants, and there is some room for machlokas. Now, Shitas Rashi is that with regard to Bittul, when we say that you're mevatel it there, it means for Shivas Yimei Chag, and that's the way we've been explaining the Gemara. And the whole difference between being mevatelit and enos lefnoso is just a matter of whether you said it or you didn't say it. Not all Rishonim agree with Rashi. The Shita of the Ritva is bitul, being mevatelit means that you're mevatelit li'olam, but you don't need to do so bepemale. Even bitul belev is going to be good enough, even if you just never plan on removing it. And the difference between bitul and enos lefnoso in the eyes of the Ritva is that enos lefnoso means that you don't plan on removing it during Shivas Yimei Chag, but Bittul means you're being mevatelit for forever. Okay, so says the Gemara further now. Where are we? Yeah, Haisa Gavala me Esrim Amma, V'hutzin Yardim B'toh Chaf Amma. Let's say the sukkah was more than 20 amos high off the ground, and there are some pieces of schach that are sticking within 20 amos of the ground. So Im Tzilasam Rumi Chamasam, if the amount of schach that's within 20 amos of the ground would alone, on its own, not counting the schach that's more than 20 amos off the ground, just the schach within 20 amos off the ground would provide more shade than sunlight on its own, then Kshera, then the sukkah is going to be kosher, meaning having more schach on top of your already kosher schach is not going to passel, even though that more schach that you add is more than 20 amos from the ground. The imlav psula, but if the amount of schach that's within 20 amos of the ground is not enough to provide tzalasim rumi chamasas, not enough to be more shade than sunlight, then it's going to be passel. Haysa gavo yutfachim, so the Gemara thinks, well, what if it's the reverse? What if we're not talking about a sukkah that's too tall? We're talking about a sukkah that's just barely minimum height. Let's say it's exactly 10 tefachim tall. V'hutzin yardin l'toch yud. And you have some branches that reach within 10 tefachim of the ground, meaning some of the branches of schach are sagging or hanging within 10 tefachim of the ground. Sav Rabbi Lemeimer, Sabai thought to say, maybe we should apply the same rule. That if chamasim rumi tzalasim kshera, that if that which is sagging within 10 tefachim of the ground is not enough to provide more shade than sunlight on its own, then the sukkah should be kasher, because we should be able to ignore it. Some Rava said that you can't say such a thing. Why? Ha dira sruchi, because that is what we consider a dira srucha. It's an unlivable place, meaning if it's if there's stuff protruding within 10 tefachim of the ground, that's impossible to live in such a place. Person wouldn't live in such a under such unlivable conditions. So even though enochinami, it's not considered that you have schach within 10 tefachim of the ground, so it's not going to apostle the sukkah from that perspective, but apostles the sukkah because it's a diras rucha, because on a practical level, it's simply impossible to live in such a sukkah. The Rashash raises the question, so then how could a sukkah be kosher when it's 10 tefachim high? If a diras rucha is no good, how tall is an average person? An average person, we assume, is without his head, is 3 amos. 3 amos, we assume each amah is 6 tefachim, so an average person is 18 tefachim tall, and that's just shoulder height, according to most Rishonim's machlokas, when we say that an average person is 3 amos tall, because there are indications that a person is more than 3 amos tall, because the first Mishnah Maseches Babasra tells us that when you're building a mechitza between two properties and you want to avoid hezek re'iyah, that neither one should be able to look into the other side, that you have to build a 4 amah high wall. One neighbor could it's against the zoning laws, by the way, right? If you're not entitled to an 8-foot wall by us, but in most places, I think, but on a halacha, you're entitled to force the fellow to build an 8-foot high wall, meaning a 4 amah. Well, I shouldn't say 8 feet. we obviously don't assume an average person is 8 feet tall, but you can force a person to build a 4 amah high wall. So it sounds like the assumption is that a person is 4 amos high. Yet we always assume throughout the Mishnah Mikvahs, for example, says that the height, the size of a mikvah is the size of a person. So in height and width and length. So it's 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim by 3 amos high, and you fill up that amount of water, that's exactly the size of a mikveh. So it sounds like a person is only 3 amos tall. So some of the Rishonim say, yeah, he's 3 amos tall, means till the shoulder he's 3 amos tall. So how does that help in the mikveh? Is if he's 3 amos tall till the shoulder, doesn't he have to dip his whole body in the mikveh? Yeah, if you go in the mikveh, the water level goes up, and then it will cover over his head as well. So the assumption is that a person is more than 3 amos tall. Either way, if a person, even if a person were only 3 amos tall, that's 18 tefachim. So how's he going to live asks Rashash, in a sukkah that's 10 tefachim, we're saying if it's less than 10, then it becomes a diras rucha. I would imagine it's pretty cramped, even if it is 10 tefachim. So the Aruch Lenaris says, it has to be, that even though the minimum size of length and width of a sukkah is 7 by 7 tefachim, and minimum height is 10 tefachim high, it has to be that if it's 10 tefachim high and 7 by 7 tefachim, then it's no good. It has to be that you get one or the other. That if it's going to be 7 by 7 tefachim, then it's got to be the full height of the person. If it's going to be 10 tefachim high, then it needs to be longer. You got to be able to lie down in it. You have to be able to stretch out in the sukkah. So you'll go in that way instead of standing up. It has to be, says the Aruch Lenaris. Nevertheless, no one else seems to assume that way. It's a great chiddush of the Aruch Lenaris, but no one else seems to assume that way. We always assume that's the minimum size of the sukkah, 7 by 7 tefachim by 10 tefachim of height. So that's the issue. So you have to say that a person can squeeze himself into 10 tefachim of height, but you wouldn't be able to squeeze yourself into less than that. There is a machlokes rishonim whether that psul is a psul b'dieved, meaning the din of diras rucha, if it goes within 10 tefachim of the ground, would that even possible b'dieved, or is that only a psul l'chachila? So some of the rishonim suggest, the Ritva and others suggest, that it's a psul even b'dieved, that less than 10 tefachim off the ground. The Rambam in the fifth part of the Chasukah says, no, it's only a psul l'chachila. So what's pshat in the Rambam? Where does the Rambam get the idea that a diras rucha is only psul l'chachila? So he said, the Achronim explained in the Rambam that the Gemara is going to look for a source, and we're going to see in tomorrow's daf, really not so much in today's daf, of how I know that the mechitzah of a sukkah need to be 10 tefachim tall. Well, if a diras rucha is pasul even b'dieved, so that's how I know it's a diras rucha. It's unlivable. That would be enough. You wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me that it can't be 10 tefachim tall. Oh, so the Rambam must have understood. The Rambam must have realized this problem, and therefore suggested that if it's a diras rucha, it's not pasul b'dieved. It's not good, but it's kosher b'dieved. And therefore, the Gemara wants to know, how do I know that if the mechitzos are less than 10 tefachim tall, that that's going to be pasul b'dieved, that those aren't kosher or mechitzos if they're less than 10 tefachim tall. So that's a separate Gemara. That's going to be something that even pasuls on a b'dieved level. Okay, so now says the Gemara right above the pictures. Ha'isa gavah me'asr mamu. If a sukkah was more than 20 amos tall, the assumption always was that a sukkah has three walls and that the fourth side was open. So dofen emtsai means the wall that touches the other two walls. So if you build a platform along the entire back wall of the sukkah, al pnei kula v'yesh ba'achshar sukkah, and that platform that you built is large enough to be the size of a sukkah, meaning it's 7 by 7 tefachim at least. So then k'sheira, then the sukkah is going to be kosher. Well, of course the sukkahs are going to be kosher. You're within 20 amos of the schach. You're surrounded by three walls. It's more than 7 by 7 tefachim. What's the chiddush that the sukkah is kosher? Now the chiddush is, says Rashi, that the sukkah is kosher even off the platform. On the platform, vada is kosher. Even off the platform is kosher. That's what we call, and this is a principle to become familiar with, pesal ayotze min ha-sukkah. That a pesal ayotze min ha-sukkah is dino kesukkah. That sometimes you have a basic kosher sukkah, and then there's parts of the sukkah that have kosher schach, but they don't have the other requirements. Either they don't have enough tefanos, or the schach is too high, or something like that. So since it's an extension of a kosher sukkah, you can even sit in that part of the sukkah. So a classic example is, you have, let's say you have three walls, so shtayim kilchasam, the shlishis afilu tefach. The third wall is only, let's say, a few tefachim, it's less than 7 tefachim. Can you sit where you're not surrounded by three walls, where you're only surrounded by two of the walls? Yeah, you're even allowed to sit in that extended part, that part where you're not fully surrounded by three walls, because it's pesal yotzim in a sukkah. So this too is an example of pesal yotzim in a sukkah. When you're on the platform, you're in a perfectly kosher sukkah. Beyond the platform, you have kosher schach. So that's pesal. Psalz Garen V'yakov is kosher schach. You have pesal, but it's yotzim in a sukkah. It's beyond the other requirements of a sukkah. So anyway, umin atzad, if they build the platform off to the side, on one of the side walls, so then it depends. Im yesh misfasitz v'lekosel dalal amos psula. If there's more than four amos between the other side wall and where the platform ends, then it's going to be puzzled because we cannot connect that other side wall to the sukkah itself. But pachas me'arba amos ksheila. But if it's less than four amos between the other side wall and where the platform ends, we can associate that wall with the platform, and therefore the platform is considered to be surrounded on three sides by walls. So my kamashmalan, what's the big chiddush of telling me that if it's less than four amos, it's okay? Your big chiddush is damrin and dofen akuma, that we apply a principle of halacha Moshe Sinai called dofen akuma, that as long as you're within four amos of the wall, that wall is considered to be a bent wall that's connected to the platform. Well, Tanina, don't we already know the din of dofen akuma? Because after all, we're going to see it in the Mishnah later on, Daf Yud Zayin, Bayish and Nefchas, if you have a house, let's say, where the ceiling caves in. So, you know, obviously we generally aren't so pleased about that when the ceiling caves in the house. But when life hands you a lemon, you make lemonade. You say, ah, oh, this is a beautiful sukkah. So what if I put schach over the hole right in the middle of over my new sunroof in the middle of my house? So bayish and nefchas, v'sikech al gabav, and you put schach over the hole. So im yesh minakos l'sikuch dal ramos psula. If there's more than four amos from the wall to where the opening in the roof is, where you put your schach, it's more than four amos away, then it's going to be pasul. Hapachus mikan ksheira, but if it's less than that, it's going to be kosher. So you see the principle of dofen akuma from that we can take the walls of the room and view them as if they're right up against where the schach begins, as long as it's within four amos of that. So why do you have to tell me the same din again? So I might have thought that it's different, because in that case, those walls were kosher walls. They just were in the wrong place. They were a few amos away from where the schach was. But in our case, the walls weren't kosher. They were more than 20 amos high. So by moving, we need to move them just to get them within 20 amos. So the walls themselves were fundamentally flawed. So I might think Dofen Akuma doesn't fix such a problem. So Kamash Malan, that it fixes such a problem as well. Let's say your sukkah was more than 20 amos tall, and you built a platform right in the middle of the sukkah. So im yesh if in every direction you have four amos from the center of a platform, from the edges of the center platform to the walls, then it's going to be possible. You cannot apply dofen akuma. But pachas me'arba amos ksheira. But if it's less than four amos from the edge of the platform to the side walls, then it's going to be kosher. So it says my kamash melin damrin dofen akuma. What's your great chiddush that we apply the principle of dofen akuma? Hainuach, we already said dofen akuma. In fact, we said it twice already. So why do we have to say dofen akuma again? So it says, "Rano, ma'u detema dofen akuma miruach achas amrinan." I will call ruach ruach lo. I might have thought dofen akuma is a legal fiction, right? Dofen akuma makes it that we view the wall as if it's bent. The wall's not bent. The wall is straight, and the wall's not here. It's over there. So we're going to take this halachah Moshe Sinai and view it ki'ilu. We'll view it as if the wall is right here. So I would think you get one shot at that. You know, you could do that on one wall, but to do that on all three walls of the sukkah, I would have thought you can't do such a thing. So kamash malan, that's why it has to tell me that you can even apply dofen akuma simultaneously on all three walls, which is a big chiddush, because generally speaking, we're makbid not to apply two separate halachah l'moshe misinais together. We don't put there are a lot of halachah l'moshe misinais when it comes to the walls of a sukkah. We're going to see all about kurachis and kurasik and dofen akuma and love. There are all sorts of different halachah l'moshe misinai. So I might have thought that that's considered you putting together three halachah l'moshe misinais. One on this wall, one on that wall, and one on that wall. So kamash malan, no, it's not a problem to put together to use dofen akuma on all the sides. Actually, before we even get to ha'isub chus me'asar tefachim, the idea of dofen akuma itself is somewhat of a discussion in the Rishonim. So there's machlokes Rishonim. What does it mean dofen akuma? Where's it bent? Where does the wall? What's the wall? Meaning, and how do I view all that ceiling, all the roof that's not sukkah? Meaning, you have roof. Let's say 3.5 amos of roof till you get to the schach. What's that? And can I sit under that? Is that kosher to sit there? Because the whole thing is considered kosher sukkah now. So this is machlokes Rishonim. Some of the Rishonim assume assume that it, we view it as if the wall bends, and up until the itztava is part of the dofen, meaning the ceiling is also wall, that it's all considered wall, and therefore the wall really does go up until the itztava, because we just view the ceiling as if it's the wall. The Ran brings a raya to this from the fact that that Avir passels b'shlosha tvachim, but if you're going to say you view it as if the dofen is just right next to the schach, so kolshken, when there's just Avir, there would be easier, you would think, to move the wall over when there's nothing in its way. When there's a roof in its way, when there's a ceiling in its way, I would think it's harder to move the wall over. When there's nothing, when there's just airspace, I would think it would be easier. Yet we're much more machmir when there's airspace. So Lamai says, right, it must be that we need to be utilizing that roof, because that roof is now viewed as part of the wall. However, other Rishonim said, no, that's not what Dofen Akuma means. Dofen Akuma doesn't mean we view it as if it's a bent wall that's on a right angle, and therefore the roof, the roofing around is considered also part of the wall. No, it means that we view the wall as if it jumped over, that the wall is still the wall, but it's as if it jumped over and we ignore the roof. The roof is on the outside. We view it as if it's jumped all the way over to where the schach is. Big nafkamina is the halacha between those two ways of viewing Dofen Akuma. Number one, can you sit in the part of the sukkah that's beyond the itztava, that's under the ceiling, or that's under the more than 20 amah high? Can you sit on that part of the sukkah? Or if you say the dofen is nakam, so that's only when the defanos are magil seschach. But otherwise, you wouldn't be able to say dofen akuma. Meaning, let's say you have defanos that are only 10 tefachim high off the ground, and a whole bunch of airspace, and then roofing that's less than 3 amos till you get to the schach. So you can't say dofen akuma because it stops before it gets to bend. It doesn't even reach that high. But if you say that we just view the walls as if they jumped over, so then it doesn't matter that the walls aren't so high, that the walls are only 10 tefach high walls. So that would be another nafkamina. Or another fascinating nafkamina, let's say you're mesakech with schach gozel bepachas on the side less than dalet amos away. So if you say that it's as if the dofen is ne'ekam, so then it's pasul, because even a dofen gzula is going to be pasul. But if you say, meaning let's say that what's the problem? You have schach on the whole sukkah, it's all the way to the wall. Problem is, the only the schach on the periphery of the sukkah is stolen. So it's all possible because it's all stolen. The only kosher schach is in the middle of the sukkah. So now, what's the halacha? Can you still apply dofen akuma? So if dofen akuma means that I view the stuff on the periphery, the ceiling material on the periphery, as if it's part of the wall, so that's no good, because you're not allowed to steal the walls of your sukkah either. That would possible the sukkah also. But if you don't view that as part of the wall, you view that as just as if it's not there, meaning the walls just jump over, and whatever's on the periphery is out, so then it would be kosher. Rishonim bring that afkamina. I saw that afkamina. I said, that's got to be an achron. Which creative achron came in? Ritzkeis. It's a Rishon. The Rishonim bring such a nafkamina. So anyway, so the Gemara says Vaita now at the bottom of the page. If let's say your sukkah was less than 10 tefachim off the ground, so you dig into the ground so that the ground, you lower the ground, you dig down to lower the ground in order to be mashlim to make 10 tefachim. If you have 3 tefachim from the edge of where you dug into the ground, from the edge of the indentation in the ground until the kosel, so then psula, then it's going to be possible. It's more than 3 tefachim away, but if it's less than 3 tefachim away, then it's going to be kosher. So wait a second, why did the numbers all of a sudden change? When we're talking about the top of the sukkah, all of a sudden it was dalet amos. Now, when we're talking about the bottom of the sukkah, and where you have a depressed floor, and then we want to know how far away it has to be from the walls, all of a sudden the numbers change drastically. 3 tefachim. Dalet amos is 24 tefachim. 1/8 of that? Now we're only dealing with 3 tefachim? So how did that change? So it says, Ma'amayshah asam dam pachas mi'ar ba'amos, Ma'amayshah hacha dam pachas mi'shosh tefachim. Hasan di isay ledofen pachos me'arba amos sadya. See, over there we had something that already was a wall. A dofen is defined as being 10 tefachim tall. So when you had a sukkah that's a malam mechafam, you had walls. It's just that the schach was too high off the ground. But you had walls, so it's just a matter of of applying dofen akuma. So then we give a lot more leeway. You have up until 4 amos me'arba amos sadya hachol shvuyei ledofen. But over here you need to generate a wall. The walls over here that you started with were only 9 or 8 tefachim off the ground, so they were not halachic walls. So you needed to dig into the ground in order to add to the wall. So that the shvuyei ledofen pachas mishlosha tefachim in ilo lo, only if it's less than 3 tefachim, if the walls of the bor that you just dug in the middle. middle of your sukkah are less than three tefachim from the walls that were pre-existing, only then could they be mitzdarif to be considered a single wall. But if they're more than three tefachim away, they're not mitzdarif to be considered a single wall. The sukkah was more than 20 amos high. Now we're changing the case. You didn't just build it. You see, previously we're talking about you had a sukkah that was 20 amos plus a tefach. Let's say the height of the sukkah was 20 amos plus a tefach, and then you built an itztva we spoke about. Let's say on the back wall, how tall was that itztva? Three tefachim, let's say, two tefachim, whatever it is, just to get you within 20 amos of the schach. Now we're changing the case. Now we're saying the platform you build is a stage that's 10 tefachim high off the ground, meaning there's a possibility that the sides of that platform themselves are walls. Now, even though you're not surrounded by the sides of the platform, you're standing on top of the platform, but maybe there's another legal fiction that we can employ, and that is Gurasik Mechitza, that we assume that the wall, that when a wall starts, we view it as if it continues straight up. So that's the case that we're describing now, that if it was... that you had a sukkah that was more than 20 amos off the ground, but you build a platform that's gavoa asara tefachim v'yesh bo hechsher sukkah, and that platform is more than 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. Savra Abaye lememar gudasik mechitzta. So Abaye wanted to say, oh, you could say gudasik mechitzta, take the walls of the side of that platform, we view them as if they go all the way up to the schach, and now when you're standing on top of that platform, you're surrounded by four walls. Samalei Rava b'ivin mechitzos hanikaros v'lekar. Rava says, no, it doesn't work. You need not just mechitzos, you need mechitzos hanikaros. The mechitzos need to be recognizable. So you don't have mechitzos hanikaros. You don't have recognizable mechitzos in such a case. Tanu Rabbanan. So the Braita tells us as follows. What about this case? Na'atz arba'o kundesin. You put four poles into the ground in four corners. V'sikei chal gabon. And you put schach over those four poles. So Rabbi Yaakov machshir v'cham poslin. Rabbi Yaakov says that such a sukkah is going to be kosher, and the Chacham say that such a sukkah is going to be possible. What just happened? Where are the walls of the sukkah? So the Gemara says, well, let's try to analyze. What exactly are the details of this case that we're describing? Again, four poles in four corners, and then you just roll out a schach mat over the four poles. So where are your walls? So says the Gemara, there are two ways to understand this machlokas. So Rav Huna explains machlokas al sfas hagag. The machlokas is only if these four poles are put at the four corners of a rooftop. So you're on top of a building, right? You're in Manhattan. You don't have the ability to build a sukkah anywhere but your rooftop. So you put four poles on the top of on the four corners of the rooftop, and then you roll out schach. That's where you have machlokas. Rav Yaakov says you want to know where your walls are? The walls of the building. The Halacha Moshe Messina views those walls as if they continue straight up, so it's surrounding your sukkah perfectly. And the Chacham say, no, you need mechitzos hanikaros. You can't have gudasik mechitza. You're not going to be able to view those walls as if they go straight up. Aval be'emtza agag divrei kol psula. But says Rav Huna, if these poles were somewhere in the middle of a roof or in the middle of a field somewhere, then no way. Then there's not even a havamina. No one would say it's kosher because there are no walls, and if you have no walls, then you have no sukkah. So that wouldn't even be a thought. But Rav Nachman says, no, you're misunderstanding. Be'emtzagag machlokas. The whole machlokas, whether it's kosher, is dafka when it's in the middle of the roof, when you're not employing gurasik mechitzta. Where are your mechitzos? So we'll have to see where the mechitzos are. But it's not the mechitzos of the building that we're discussing, that there's a machlokas about. But so what does Rav Nachman mean by that? What if it was on the edges of the building? So Yibaylu, be'emtzagag machlokas aval sasagag divya kol ksheira, odom aveim zubem zubem. Machlokas. Rav Nachman says that the machlokas is if the poles are put in the middle of the rooftop, that's where you have a machlokas. Does he mean and only that case is a machlokas? But everyone would agree that if it was at the edges of the roof, that it would be kosher. Or does he mean to say that just like it's a machlokas in the middle of the roof, it would also be a machlokas if it's at the edges? Teku, the Gemara leaves that part unresolved. We're not sure whether he holds that it's also machlokas on the edges of the roof. So here's what we know, that if you have it on the edges of the roof, if you have four corners of the roof, that and then you put schach over the entire rooftop, we know for sure that Rav Huna holds that's a machlokas, right? That Rav Huna holds that Rabbi Yaakov thinks it's kosher and the Chacham think that it's pasul. we know for sure that Rav Nachman holds it's at least a machlokas, meaning it's either machlokas or in that case it's 100% kosher. So what would that lead you to believe? Meaning, what does that tell you? In the end of the day, the Gemara is not sure what Rav Nachman holds. They actually did. So first, we need to see who's correct in this machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. It's only confusing because it's a machlokas about a machlokas, right? Meaning you have a machlokas tanaim, whether having the four poles and schach over it is kosher, and then you have a machlokas amoraim. What are the circumstances of the machlokas tanaim? Rav Huna said the circumstances of the machlokas tanaim is only when it's around the edges of the roof, but not when it's in the middle of the roof. In the middle of the roof, everyone says apostle, and Rav Nachman says the machlokas is when it's in the middle of the roof, and maybe also, maybe or maybe not, also when it's on the edges of the roof. So it says Gemara, let's see if we can figure out who's correct in this machlokas amoraim, but how to understand this machlokas tanoim. So meisve not atzdal kundesin ba'aretz. Let's say it's not a rooftop. You just put four poles in the middle of the ground. What's that the equivalent to? We had two cases of the rooftop. We had the edges of the roof, and we had the middle of the roof. Ba'aretz is the equivalent to the middle of the roof because there are no walls to speak of. You just put four poles in the middle of the roof, in the ground, in the middle of a field. V'sikei chal gabon, and then you put schach over it. Rabbi Yaakov machshir v'cham poslin. It's the machlokas tanaim. So you see very clearly, va'aretz dekems hagagdami, putting it in the ground, these four poles in the ground, is the same as putting it in the middle of a roof. And nevertheless, v'kamachshir Rabbi Yaakov, you see that it's a machlokas, that the machlokas tanaim applies in the middle of a roof. Tiyofta Rav Huna tiyofta. So Rav Huna's understanding of this machlokas tanaim must have been erroneous, because Rav Huna said there is no machlokas tanaim in the middle of the roof. Here we have explicitly in the Braisa that yes, there is a machlokas tanaim in the middle of the roof. Now Rav Huna also said that there is a machlokas tanaim on the edges of the roof. Is that true? Well, we could make a further diuk from this Braisa. Be'emtzuhu depligi. Sounds like the whole machlokas is only in the middle of the roof. Avla al-sfas ha-gag divrei kol k'sheira, that if it's at the edges of the roof, everyone would say it's kosher. Le'ma tavit yuftit Rav Huna betarti. So maybe Rav Huna was incorrect about that. I mean, Rav Huna said two things. He said there is a machlokas when it's by the edge of the roof, and there's no machlokas in the middle of the roof. We've already proven the second thing to be incorrect, that there is a machlokas in the middle of the roof. Can we prove his first statement to be incorrect and show that there's really no machlokas when it's at the edge of the roof and that everyone holds it's just going to be kosher? So Amlach Rav Huna would say, no, even though you've disproven one of my points, you cannot disprove both of my points. Pligi be'emtza hagag v'adin al sfas hagag. It could be that they formulated their machlokas in a case of the middle of the roof, but v'adin, the same machlokas would also apply if it was at the edges of the roof. Why then would they formulate their machlokas speaking about a case of the middle of the roof? That's to let you know just how makel Rabbi Yaakov is going to be. That Rabbi Yaakov is even going to allow it when you just stick four poles in the middle of the roof and throw schach over it. Meaning, whenever we have two ways to formulate two cases, and each case you can have the machlokas, we always try to express the machlokas in the case that will highlight the koach te'ra. That's a principle that we have, koach te'ra adif. So wherever the greatest chiddush lekula is, that's what we always highlight. Why do we always highlight? What does it mean, koach te'ra adif? So what it means is that if a person is not sure what to do, so it's very easy what to do. You can always just be cautious. It doesn't take much to be machmir. You don't need to be a gon adir in order to be machmir. But to say a kula with confidence, not to say a kula because you lack your shemayim. No, to say a kula with confidence, and you're sure that with someone with your shemayim to say a kula, that involves much greater koach and halacha. So that's what we're always going to try to highlight, the koach te'atera. So where does that leave us? Meaning, what would we paskin? So the Gemara leaves it as a teku, whether the machlokas is on the side of the roof as well, right? So the Rosh paskins that we follow l'chumra, like the Rabbanan, that even besfas hagag, that it's a problem. Because if it's a teku, we have to go l'chumra. Meaning this is a suffix on a dinda. There's a machlokas rishonim what to do about tekus. How do you paskin la halacha on a teku? So some rishonim say always l'chumri, even on dinim d'rabbanan. But most rishonim is machlokes Rashi and Rambam. Most rishonim assume that you treat it like a suffix. So if it's a din d'oraisa l'chumri, it's a din d'rabbanan l'kula. These are dinim d'oraisa. Whether you have a wall of a sukkah, so that's l'chumri. You would go l'chumri, and therefore you wouldn't have the din of good asik that you apply by a mechitza. The Rambam of Paskin is that by sfas hagag we do apply good asik. So the Ravid asks on him that he seems to be against our sukkah, because even according to Rav Nachman, it's a teku. So we should have paskim l'chumra. Okay, so there are different ways to frank with the Rambam. Tan Rabban, no, it's arba kudesin ba'aretz. Let's say you put four poles in the ground, v'sikei chal gaban, you put tzchach over them, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, rowan, meaning we still haven't explained why that would possibly be kosher, why anyone would hold that would be kosher. To put four poles in the middle of nowhere, no walls anywhere near you, there are just four poles in the middle of the ground, and you just put tzchach over it. Why on earth is that going to be kosher? So here's the first explanation that we have of that. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Rowan Kol She'ilu Yechakeku V'yachluku V'yeshben Tefach L'kan V'tefach L'kan Nidon and Mishum D'yomed, that the assumption is that these poles are at least one tefach by one tefach in width and length. So if you were to hollow it out, you can actually, you'd be able to have a one tefach by one tefach perpendicular post. And if you have four of those in each of the four corners, that qualifies as mechitzas. Vimlav in the don mishum diyamin. But if the poles were just these narrow poles that were not one tefach by one tefach, then it would not work. Shai Rabbi Yaakov Omer diyom de sukkah tefach. Rabbi Yaakov holds that in order to create a sense of the funnels of a sukkah using perpendicular poles, that would all you would need is a tefach in each direction. The chamram im achi shtayim kilchasan shlish tefil tefach. Chamis say the more familiar shita to us that no, in order to have kosher walls of a sukkah, you need to have shtayim kilchasan. You need to have two walls that full walls that are perpendicular to each other, and then the third wall you can get away with a little bit less. The third wall could be afilu tefach. Okay, we'll stop there. But Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots. So tomorrow's here will again be on at 6:30 p.m. city time, 5:30 p.m. camp time. And okay, have a wonderful evening. Good to watch, everyone.
Okay, I'll get to the